This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wahda. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Wa la ummata ba'da ummatihi. Wa la kitaba ba'da kitabih. Wa la shari'ata ba'da shari'atih. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل سيروا في الأرض فانظروا كيف كان عاقبة الذين من قبلهم صدق الله العظيم Respected elders and brothers, I have just returned from a trip abroad where I had gone to Spain with the intention of seeing the Islamic sites and Islamic history behind what had happened in Spain. In fact, I have just come from the airport. And maybe there was nothing else that I could speak on. I didn't prepare anything, so I thought, let me just speak on the trip. And this is a very interesting and a very great lesson of history. A lesson that you and I can take much, much benefit from if we adhere to the lessons that we can see from what had happened in Spain. Muslims, let me start off from the beginning. Muslims came into Spain firstly at the behest of the local people. It is not as if they conquered Spain. They came there because they were requested to do so. And there was one incident in particular that happened. And that was, Spain was ruled by the Visigothics. Right, those who were regarded to be maybe Christians and the Roman, part of the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire also had a presence in North Africa. Now what actually used to happen was that the governors used to send their daughters and their children to the local capital to be educated. So the governor of the Romans and the governor of the Romans in North Africa was a person by the name of Julian, also known in Arabic as Ilyan. And he sent his daughter to Toledo, the capital of the Romans in Spain at that time. She was abused and she was raped by the governor of Spain. Very angry at this, he came to the Muslims who also had a presence in North Africa. And he came to Musa bin Nusayr and he said, help me, what has happened to me, and look at the injustice, the oppression, and what is happening there. Help me take over that country and bring about their justice and bring about a situation where people can live peacefully. Maybe if you have an airport or Hawaii at this Spain ki safar se bhi aaya hu to maine socha ke jo hai wahan ki tareekh aur tareekh se jo hame sabak hasil hota hai aapke samne bayan karo. Musalman jo hai na 800 saal tak wahan pe hukumat ki اور مسلمان مقامی لوگوں کی گزارش پر اسپین آئے ہیں جو اپنے حکمرانوں کے ظلم و تشدد اور نا انصافی سے تنگ آ چکے تھے. Now when they came in, you know, this whole particular thing is Muslims came in as saviors. And it's amazing that at that time Muslims were regarded to be saviors. They not only helped Muslims away from oppression and injustice, they came to help and they helped people who were oppressed from other nations and other religions. Today our weakness is such that we can't even help our own. Pehle zamane mein hum jo mazloom the unki himayat ke liye aur unki madad ke liye musalman pahunch jate the chahe wo gair ho. Aaj ki halat ye hai ki hum apno ki bhi jo hai na jo mazloom hai unki himayat hum nahi kar sakte aur unki madad nahi kar sakte. So Muslims came in on that particular situation. They came in on that particular pretext. And who came in? Tariq bin Ziyad, rahmatullah alayhi, the great Muslim conqueror, came in, and he came in first at a place called Gibraltar. It is Gibraltar is actually Jabal Tariq. That's a place where Tariq bin Ziyad came in. And of course, there's a very famous incident which some historians have, you know, cast doubt with regard to his authenticity. When Tariq bin Ziyad landed in Spain, He told his army, and he burnt all his ships. And he told his army, you got no other way out now. Either fight till death or gain victory. Now that particular incident, there is doubt with regard to its authenticity, although it is very famous in history. Allama Iqbal has also made mention with regard to it, that this is what Tariq did. And they fought till tooth and nail. And they fought in Gibraltar. They came into the land of Spain. And then eventually, they fought in Cordoba. And they fought in Toledo. Toledo that time was the capital. And in Arabic, it is known as Talatila. They fought and they overcame the rulers of the time. And they gained victory. And they set themselves up. And they set up an empire. They set up a civilization. They set up a rule of law that today, even up to this day, not only Muslims, non-Muslims are in awe with regard to the civilization and with regard to the presence and with regard to the justice that Muslims had brought to that fair land. They came and conquered and created such a great civilization. Musalmanon ne waha ke muqami logo ke guzarish par labbay kaha aur Islam ki behtareen mujahid Tariq bin Ziyad rahmatullah alayh ne ke haatho Spain fatah hui. Now when they came, what did they create? We say they created such a great civilization. They created a civilization which at least initially was built on taqwa, was built on jihad, was built on justice, was built on tolerance, was built on worldly progress, and was built on giving people of the world at that time a much better alternative than what they had. And let me give you an example. In 950 of the common era, Cordoba became the seat of the Muslim Khilafat in Spain. Now you know actually what actually happened was, when the Muslims came in, they gained victory. And as is the bane of Muslim societies throughout the world, they started fighting amongst themselves. They started fighting for the spoils. Tribes started fighting with one another. And this is something that has plagued the Muslims even up to this day. This particular aspect of fighting, disunity, which has caused the downfall and the weakness of Muslims up to this day, they started doing that. In faraway Baghdad, there was an incident that happened. The Umayyads were overtaken by the Abbasids, who slain and who killed all the remaining Umayyad Khalifas and all the remaining Umayyad rulers and the dynasty and the family. There was one person who came away from there unscathed. You know, not unscathed in terms of the scars that he had, the emotional scars that he had, but he saved his life. And he came, and he was Abdul Rahman. Abdul Rahman came, he wasn't part of the Umayyads. He came first to Egypt. He was pursued by the Abbasids. The Abbasids killed all the Umayyads. And then he came into North Africa. His mother was a Berber. They gave him refuge, and then he came into Spain. And when he came into Spain, he is known as Abdul Rahman al-Daqil. The Abdul Rahman who came and entered into Spain. And he's also known as the Falcon of Spain. He created the Khilafat. And what an amazing Khilafat he created. And in every way, as I said, taqwa, justice, tolerance. And why was this, you know, initial success? What was the reasons with regard to it? Let me give you an example of what was created. In the year 950. In the year 950 of the common era. Now we are in 2019. Almost 1,000 years back, Cordoba was the most progressive and the most technologically and progressive and advanced city in the world. There was a survey that was carried out at that particular time in Cordoba. There were 600,000 homes, just over 500,000 homes or 500,000 people. Right? Out of that, there were 50 hospitals. 92,700 small shops. Everyone was prosperous. Can you imagine the ratio? Out of 600,000 people and homes, there were 92,700. Today, people, the world talks about SMEs, small and medium business enterprises, because it is the hallmark and the basis of a prosperous society to get small business. You know, if you have multinationals, only few people benefit. The poor remain poor. In Cordoba, out of 600,000, you know, homes, there were 92,700 shops. And there were 300 public baths. And then at a time when the people of Europe were in at that time in the bubonic plague because of filth. They used to throw their feces, they used to throw their filth on the ground, and because of which people used to be sick. At that time, Muslims had 300 hammams in Cordoba. Private homes, there were 700 libraries. Private homes in Cordoba had more books in their library, in their personal library, than was in the entire libraries of Europe. There were street lights for 10 miles outside Cordoba. At a time when London and Paris only had to see street lights many centuries thereafter. There was running water in Cordoba. This was the progress that was happening with regard to it. And one of the reasons amongst that, as I said, taqwa, justice, jihad, fighting in the path of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with specific outcomes, tolerance. Muslims were tolerant, and I always make mention with regard to it that the strength of Muslims have always been that they were tolerant. And wherever great empires of Muslims were established, it was always based because of tolerance. You will find it. The Umayyads were pretty, also had a very great empire. But because they were comparatively to the Abbasids more harsh, their whole particular Khilafat lasted for 100 years. The Umayyad, the Abbasid Khilafat that came into Baghdad were more tolerant, were more open to the outside world. They lasted for over 500 years. Go and look at the tolerance of the Muslims in Spain. Therefore, they lasted for 800 years. The Ottomans were even more tolerant. They lasted for 600 years. So together with jihad, there was tolerance. And therefore, you will find in Spain, many non-Muslims, Ibn Maymun, Maymunids, was a Jewish poet, philosopher, you know. And he was amongst the one who had his greatest works under Muslim rule. And you know what amazing thing he had said? Ibn Maymun, Maymunids, he said, when Jewish civilization and Jews were protected by Muslims in Spain, it is the same Ibn Maymun who said that the greatest threat to Jews of Spain, the greatest threat to Jews of Spain is attraction and the beauty of Islam. The greatest threat to the continuation of Jews in Spain was the attraction and the beauty of Islam, because Muslims at that time were amongst those who, and one of the things that we also got to say was not only taqwa and justice, they were amongst those who were in the forefront with regard to worldly progress. I made mention with regard to running water, I made mention with regard to lights, something that you and I today we feel has got nothing to do with deen. But every successful civilization, every successful administration has to have worldly prosperity for its citizens, has to have a situation where the citizens are at least, their worldly needs and their immediate needs are met. Otherwise, how can it be a proper administration? How can it be a proper hukumat? How can it be a proper government? And not only in that, you know, in the museum that we went, we saw, you know, that the surgical instrument of Zahrawi, Al-Qaisas, who had used instruments to conduct operations long before we regard, you know, medical progress today to be part and parcel of the Western civilization. It was rooted and started up by Muslims. The surgical instruments that he has used to conduct operations like the cataract and other operations have been used right up till the First World War. In fact, today's surgical instruments differ very little from the instruments that were used by Zahrawi and Al-Qaisas. Muslims were this in particular way. They had, and they remained like that for a very long period of time. There were different phases. Now, 800 years, you know, I just make mention with regard to what is 800 years. You know what is 800 years of hukumat and government in a particular place? To give you an example, in contemporary times, we talk about the United States of America. The United States of America is only in existence for 200 years. Just over 200 years. Today we talk America, America. Only over 200 years is in existence. Muslims were in Spain for over 800 years. Then of course there were these periods of glory and there were periods of decline. And in this whole aspect of glory, which I would like to relate, there was also an aspect of decline. In the peak, the Muslim ruler at that time, you know, after Abdul Rahman al-Dakhil, he's the term finished, and then his son Abdul Rahman al-Thalith, you know, he established Madinatul Zahra. Now this is something to see. We went to go and see the museum there, and they showed us what was Madinatul Zahra. It was, in terms of worldly terms, one of the greatest in terms of opulence. You can't believe, even today, what has been discovered in Madinatul Zahra is only 10% of the original. But even the 10% of the original strikes you with regard to awe in terms of opulence and, you know, in terms of worldly progress, what they had achieved. It was 12 kilometers away from Cordoba. But he built such a great palace. You know, and that time he created it perhaps with the intention of creating awe amongst the nations of the world. So in that particular way he created something. They say when a dignitary used to come and visit the Khalifa in Madinatul Zahra, for 12 kilometers he used to come to Cordoba. Cordoba was a masjid, the greatest masjid that you can see in Western Europe. What a beautiful masjid. So there the dignitaries used to come. They used to come from Cordoba to Madinatul Zahra under swords. So they used to walk under swords. When they used to come and see the Khalifa had a room in which he had quicksand. So when, you know, a particular mercury and quicksand, that when a person used to sit in there, you know, the quicksand under the sun used to give the impression as if the entire world is revolving. And after coming there, he used to come in front of the Khalifa, and the Khalifa used to give him an agreement and say, sign this particular agreement that you will be under the Muslim rule. And after seeing this entire, you know, scenes of greatness and those whole scenes, he used to just sign that whole particular agreement. But this very same type of opulence was the beginning of the decline. And do you know what was Madinatul Zahra? There was 13,000 male servants and slaves in Madinatul Zahra. 6,500 female slaves and servants that were looking after the Khalifa and his entourage. And this was now the beginning of the decline. So this one way was all this whole particular progress. And after 800 years, Muslims started losing, you know, different cities. And how what actually happened was they started fighting amongst one another. One of the greatest banes and one of the greatest reasons for the losing of the Muslim presence in Spain was disunity and infighting. So whereas after a while, when the Muslims were well settled, no one could actually think that they were going to be defeated because they were so powerful was their presence. Then they started fighting amongst one another. So instead of having one central khilafat, they started having city-states. They used to call it ta'ifas. So there used to be up to 30 different city-states. And I'm just going to, let me just say a few things in all the, yahan par jo hai na, is undlus mein, taqwa, insaf, or tahammul, or burdabadi, or dunyavi tarakki ki wajah se, musalmanon ne 800 saal tak, azimushan sultanat, or hukumat ki, or sun 950 mein, Kurtuba mein, Kurtuba, dunya ke sabse zyada tarakki yafta shahar tha. 6 lakh ki abadi mein, 6 lakh ki abadi mein, 50 to hospital, 90,000 se zyada dukane, aur 300 se zyada hammam, aur behtareen kutub khana, har tarah ki asayish, aur jo hai na wo tarakki. Now in that particular way then started the decline. What was the reason for the decline? One of it was opulence. The other reason was with regard to infighting. Muslims started fighting. And because of the infighting, the enemies took root and they started defeating the Muslims. Instead of coming under one central khilafat, instead of fighting for a common cause, instead of cooperating with other Muslims for the betterment of the cause or for the betterment of the deen, each and everyone had their own small kingdoms. There came a time that 30 kingdoms were there. Ibn Battuta, the famous Muslim traveler, came to Spain and he said, I never ever saw so many Amirul Mu'mineen in one place. Huh? Sounds familiar. Everyone is Amirul Mu'mineen. Everyone is a sheikh. Everyone has got his own particular, you know, situation. Everyone got his own fiefdom. So then the same thing happened. So then they started slowly, the Christians, what they call Reconquista, they started picking up slowly on one city. So Toledo fell. And then all the others fell. Then Seville fell. And Almeria fell, Valencia fell, Zaragoza fell, and then Cordoba fell. In the year 1238, Muslims came in 711, 1238. All, the entire Spain was conquered besides one place known as Granada. There was another Khilafat that came. And that Khilafat brought back memories of the glory of Islam. Today you go and see Al-Hamra, Wallahi al-Azim, my dear respected brothers, you will be happy and you will be feel proud and you will cry. Such great architecture, such great beauty, such great aesthetics. It gives you a sense of achievement. And then you cry also, you said, how was it lost? When Muslims had such great taraqqi and such great progress, how did they lose all this? You will sit in amazement and awe with regard to the beauty that is in Granada. For 250 years, the Muslims had a khilafat. 1238, all the other cities fell. 1492, Granada fell. And when the Muslims were there, they united once again. So they were even talking, now that we are going to get all the lost cities back again. But then again, the very same thing that caused the downfall of the other cities, the same thing happened in Granada. There were two brothers, one in Malaga and one in Granada, very close to one another, 100 kilometers. They were holding the Khilafat. They started fighting. When they started fighting, Granada also fell. And Abu Abdullah was the one who signed the treaty of surrender to Ferdinand and Isabella. And Muslims lost Spain. And when, you know, he read a whole agreement. The agreement was that Muslims will be allowed to stay in Spain. They will be allowed to keep their masajid. They will be allowed to do this and that. And today the Western civilization talks a lot about tolerance. What actually they did, they went against all of those agreements. And they started killing Muslims. And they started persecuting Muslims. The Muslims came to be known as Moriscos. They used to keep, initially, the Islam outwardly. And, you know, outwardly they used to be Christians. Inside they used to be Iman. But that also was not sufficient. And then they slowly started looking for any signs of you being a Muslim. And they either baptized you, forcibly they made you into Christians, or if you didn't want to become a Christian, they killed you. When Abu Abdullah surrendered and he saw they were not keeping their agreements, he also then fled to North Africa. And when he came out of Granada, you know, there is a place which even now, up till now, it is kept on a hill known as the Sigh of the Moors, you know. You know, of course, there's a sense of pride also going there. There's a sense of regret also. There's a sense of sadness. And there, that particular hill, when he looked at Granada, and he realized what he had lost, he started crying. And when he cried, his mother told him, he said, "Oh, my son, what is the use of crying like a baby when you couldn't protect it like a man? What is the use of crying like a baby when you couldn't protect it like a man?" And because of this, Muslims lost that whole particular region. Allah knows, إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. Allah says the earth belongs to Allah. He gives it to whomsoever He wishes. When you are worthy, He gave it to you. When you are not worthy, He took it from you. Allah clearly says, the earth belongs to Almighty Allah. So these were just some of the aspects. We can't give an entire, you know, history of the region in just 20 minutes, but just a glimpse with regard to it. Let me end off by saying, Alhamdulillah, there are certain signs that are, you know, of great hope. Today there are 2 million Muslims in Spain. Right? Out of that 10%, 200,000 are local Spanish people. It's local Spanish people who have become Muslims. That particular ratio we don't even have in South Africa. Let me repeat that. That ratio of 10% local people becoming Muslims, we don't even have in South Africa. And we went to one particular home where a doctor, a Spanish doctor, realized the truth and he became a Muslim. He made his whole family Muslims. That particular family are living on the outskirts of Granada. And we went to go and have a meal with them. It was so reassuring and so, you know, hopeful to see that this whole Spanish Muslims are becoming. Maybe many of them are realizing that this is what actually was our heritage. There was one person, one guy told us, he said, that I know of a family, and this particular family remembers that their great-great-grandmother told them, and they have passed it on over the generations, that we are children of Moors, we are children of Muslims. Go and find out what were our great-grandparents, and go and search for the truth. One person made mention, and he told us, one of the guides told us, he said that when once, you know, one person, one family became a Muslim some time back, and, you know, they used to get up early hours of morning to make wuzu. When they started making wuzu, the great-grandmother who was still alive came and saw them and started crying and said, "My great-grandmother used to do this." So we don't know, my dear respected brothers, when we become worthy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give people again hukumat. Innal arda lillah yurithuha man yasha'u min ibadi. Let me conclude as this ayat. Qul siru fil ard. Says Allah in the Holy Quran, travel in the earth. فَانْزُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. and come to realize what was the consequences of the people of the past. What was their rise? Why they rose? And what were the reasons of their decline? And why they declined? May Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq of understanding these lessons and bringing it into our life. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Thank you.